With you this morning. I'm always honored to be a part of your church, which is so good in giving to missions. And as your church planning team leader from the State Convention of Baptists in Indiana, we want to say thank you for your gifts through the cooperative program. Thank you for what you're doing to help us with planting churches and supporting Pastor Luis Mercado in his Hispanic work in Washington, Indiana. And God's word is going forth in many places because of your faithfulness. I read a tweet this morning on Twitter from Jeff Christofferson at the North American Mission Board, and he says, when God looks out this morning, he doesn't see just a steeple. He sees a globe that's in need of Christ. And God doesn't bless keepers, he blesses churches that are senders. And I want to say thank you to your church for being a sender. And I hope that your church is being blessed. Your church is very important to us in our state convention. And we want to encourage you in your ministry. I'm also grateful to have the privilege to preach for your pastor in his absence. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you want to take your copy of God's Word and turn to that text, I appreciate your pastor. I listen to his messages on your website, and I appreciate his solid teaching and the series he's leading you through now in the book of Hebrews. I'm also grateful if you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're listening on the internet and you don't know our Lord and Savior, because the message that we have today for you is good news that will change your life. And believe it or not, I'm a guy who's not always believed what people have told me. Now, boys, listen up to me. For there was a day when my parents told me as a small boy, you should not run through the house with a glass in your hand. But Mama didn't really know what she was talking about, did she? So I took that glass in my hand and I ran down the hallways, and guess what? I tripped and I fell. And to this day, my thumb was laid open all the way back. I have to have stitches, and to this day, you can see the scar on my left hand where what happened, I didn't listen to what I was told, and I paid the consequences for that. Now, fast forward a little bit to married life. Now, there's a difference between men and women when it comes to the gas gauge in the car, right? A woman will see a gas gauge, it gets down to a quarter tank of gas, and she'll say, it's time to fill that up. But not so with guys like me. I mean, the gas gauge gets down to empty, and the yellow light comes on, and it's just there to be tested to see how many more miles you can go to get out of it. And, well, it's the adventure of it all that worked on my old car, but I got a new car when we were going to seminary down in Texas, and I was out on the interstate with the new car and thought I would stretch the yellow light just a little bit farther, and guess what? I ran out of gas. And my sweet bride had to come all the way out there in the middle of that hot traffic and rescue me. And to this day, she reminds me, the only one of us that's ever run out of gas has been me. I didn't listen to what I had been told, and because of that, I experienced the consequences. Now, what we're reading about today is very similar, because in both of those instances, I did not lose my relationship with my parents, nor did I lose my relationship with my wife. But when you don't listen to what you are told, many times you will suffer terrible consequences. We come to the book of Hebrews and are reminded that our author, we're not quite sure who he is, he wrote the book for the reason of encouraging believers to persevere in their faith, to keep pressing on so they can reach maturity. Your pastors led you through Hebrews chapter 1. And chapter 1 has talked about who this Jesus is that we have faith in. That He is the Son of God. That He has revealed to us who God is. That He is the one who died on the cross for our sins. He is the one who has ascended on high and reigns at the right hand of God. And because of all that, he closes out chapter 1 saying, Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is superior to the angels. And we go, yay! And the author has set us up. He set us up like a lot of guys do with their sermons. And this book is really, it reads like a sermon. He comes to that high point and then he's going to stick in the point of application. That's where we come to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, where he's going to say, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard. Because Jesus is so great. Because Jesus is better. Boom! You gotta listen to this. Do not ignore what you've been teaching or learning, or you're gonna experience the consequences. And so the great truth of God's word for us today is, God strongly encourages you to pay close attention to what you've heard so that you can persevere in your faith and so that you can experience the benefits of your salvation versus the consequences of neglecting your salvation. So, out of reverence for God's word, if you're able, if you'll stand with me, please, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have spoken to us through Your word this morning. We pray, O God, that You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will help us to listen to what You have to say and to heed it so that we can persevere in our faith and so that we can experience the great benefits of the good news of salvation that You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The writer said, pay much closer attention so that. And there are two major reasons here. So that, the first one being, you won't drift and experiences the consequences of your neglect. You won't drift and experience the consequences of your neglect. It's interesting, this term, pay much closer attention, is actually a nautical term. It has to do with sailing. A ship in the writer's day, it would have to do with, if you're getting near to port, you need to turn into port where it's safer for your ship to not be destroyed by the winds and by the rocks. Pull in where it's safer is the idea of what the writer is saying to us. Pull in where it's safe and listen and obey what God has to say to you at this moment. He says that we are to pay much closer attention so that we do not drift away from it. The word drift in the original language is also a nautical term. Whoever this writer was, he was familiar with sailing. it was either Paul or of somebody of a friend of Paul on his adventures was a familiar with sailing on a ship and knew that it's possible that if you don't pull into harbor and if you don't put down a good anchor, it's possible for the winds to come along and the currents to come along and sweep your ship either out to sea aimlessly or to push it up against the rocks and destroy it. So he's saying to us here to be careful about drifting, about allowing the currents that come along in our lives to lead us into that which will wreck our lives, sin. It's so easy to let the currents of our own self-centeredness carry us along. It's so easy to let the currents of the world carry us along. It's so easy to let the currents of Satan's temptation carry us places that we never intended to go in the first place, but before we know it, our lives are on the rocks. Much better, the writer says, is to pull into port where it's safe. He warns them, for if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's reminding them that in the Old Testament, that if the word of God came, he's speaking in particular of the law, if God used angels in his speaking his word to God's people, and if they ever failed to listen, there was a penalty for it, that the same is going to be true for believers. He says that we need to be careful if we allow ourselves to drift from what God's word says, if we don't listen and obey it, we will experience terrible consequences. The other thing we see from this is he talks about neglects. That we can get into trouble not just by drifting and doing something we shouldn't do, but we can get into trouble by neglect. Disobeying by the inattention. That we just don't have, as the CBers used to say, we don't have our ears on. We're choosing not to listen and not to heed. And as we do that, we come to the point of we get in a dangerous situation before we know it. That we just decide, oh, you know, I've heard this Bible stuff before. You know, I've been listening to it since I was a little kid. I heard Ron's story, you know, children's stories, all that kind of stuff at church. I've been listening to it. I really don't need to listen to it anymore. I'm just going to kind of ignore it for a while. What's it going to hurt? You know, if I just put God's word on the back burner, no big deal, right? Wrong. Before you know it, you can find that kind of inattention, that kind of neglect, leading to serious consequences. But we live in a day where we don't want to be responsible for our own actions, right? Do you see that around in our culture? That we don't want to be held accountable for things. So we go on in our own self-centeredness and we stumble our ways into sin. And we begin to mirror our culture, a culture that's struggling with meaningless, with being powerless, or being overwhelmed by all the different options in life. And we come to a point where, wow, I'm in a mess. But what does our culture do? It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault that I'm here. We start blaming everybody else. Poor old me, I'm just a victim of my circumstances. And there's a spiritual word for that. Come here close. Let me tell you, teach this important Greek word. It's called baloney. Baloney. Jesus did not die on the cross for you to be a victim. Jesus died on the cross for you to be a victor, to have a victorious life. And when we choose not to listen to what the truth of His Word has to teach us, we get ourselves in a mess. And we live in a day where we don't want to believe in a God that would allow us to experience some pain to learn a lesson. We think, oh, that would be a cruel, mean God. We'd rather have a benevolent God in the sky that's kind of like a good grandpa, you know, that just always going to be nice and never let us experience any consequences. I don't know if any of you here are Trekkies. Anybody here Star Trek person? Okay. Ted is. All right. Well, good. I've got some company. I don't know if you follow the latest movies. There's Star Trek number 5. And in Star Trek movie number 5, they have the Starship Enterprise is taken over by Spock's evil brother. And he's kind of possessed with this idea that he wants to seek this heaven that's beyond the stars to find the God of many faces. I know it's kind of cosmic, but hey, that's just Star Trek, right? So they managed to break through this barrier to get to this place of the God of many faces. And this evil brother gets them there, and all of a sudden they discover this God of many faces, the God of the Klingons, the God of the Vulcans, the God of the humans. Isn't that all that he's cracked up to be? Captain Kirk's kind of, you know, skeptical of the whole mess. And then this God says to Dr. Bones, he says, "Bones, do you doubt me too?" And Dr. Bones says, "I doubt any God who would allow people to experience pain." And that kind of sums up how we think right now in our culture, don't we? That we want to doubt the existence of any God that would allow us to experience pain. But you know, your Heavenly Father is a loving Father. And how many of you dads would allow your kid to just be a spoiled brat? Do anything he wants to or she wants to do and never discipline them. That's not love. Love has some limits, some discipline. And God does not want His children who have placed their faith in Him to be spoiled brats. He's going to allow them to experience some consequences. And so we live in a day where God does judge His children. God is a merciful God, a loving God, and because He is loving, He is also just. The Bible teaches both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Believers here I'm talking about will face judgment. Sometimes this judgment that we experience happens in the now. In the now, if I run with a glass in my hand and fall, if I run my life with the gauge on empty, I will experience consequences. And it's sometimes that pain is not God's fault. It is He is allowing me to experience the pain of my own not listening to Him in order to learn that I need to get my ship back into port where it's safe. But sometimes our judgment is in eternity. Now, judgment for the believer is as far as our sin. The penalty of our sin is paid for when we place our faith in Jesus Christ on the cross. All of our sin, past, present, future, is paid for. Amen? The person who has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has to fear judgment in eternity for their sin. For the believer who has placed their faith in what Jesus did on the cross, what the writer of Hebrews talks about in chapter 1, they don't fear the penalty of sin in judgment. What we face is judgment that has to do with our rewards. You will receive rewards in heaven. And for the believer who does not heed what God's word says, who disobeys, he's not going to receive near the rewards that the person who does obey and perseveres in his faith. So sometimes we experience the consequences of our behavior now. Sometimes it's later, but I guarantee you, dear brother or sister, the consequences will come. And that's what our writer's talking to us about, you know, about the dangers of neglecting such a great salvation. He's not talking about losing such a great salvation. He's talking about the what can happen when we neglect it. When we move, God doesn't move. My New Testament professor at Southwestern Seminary was Dr. Tommy Lee. And Dr. Lee told about being on sabbatical one summer and getting to go to England with his wife, and they had the privileges of staying in someone's home while they were there, and they were given a car to get themselves around in England. But the responsibilities of the car were, you know, putting gas and doing maintenance and all those kinds of things, which was pretty great. And he looked at the tires, and the tires had just a little bit less than a quarter of an inch of tread on it. Now, he was from Alabama, okay? And he was like me in that he was a little thrifty, okay? So there's that tendency for some of us guys to not only drive the car on empty a little while, but sometimes drive the tires a little longer than you should safely. But he discovered something in England at that time. He discovered if you got caught driving tires with less than a quarter of an inch tread, there was $1,000 penalty. And all of a sudden, that got his attention. Dude, if there's a penalty for not listening to what you've been told to do, hey, I don't want to go there. I don't want to pay the penalty. And so the penalty was too severe for him to ever want to go there. And what the writer is saying here is the penalty, believer, is too severe that you should never want to go to the point where you're not listening to God's word and obeying God's word, because payday will come. Be careful. Be careful. We must, the writer's emphasis, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard. That was the first reason. The second reason is this: you must pay closer attention so you will persevere in your faith and experience the benefits of your salvation. When we persevere in our salvation, we're going to see the greatness of our salvation. The writer goes on to say that this salvation, verse 3, was first spoken through the Lord. Jesus Christ himself revealed this salvation to us. Jesus spoke it. The perfect Son of God came to us and showed us this good news that we didn't have to have our lives ravaged by sin. He showed us a better way of placing our faith in him, but it was costly. It cost Jesus dying on the cross in our place. Our Sunday school teacher was talking about that substitutionary atonement, what Jesus did in taking my penalty upon himself on that cross. It cost everything. And Scripture is clear that Jesus is the only way for salvation, not a way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says in John 14:6. And so this good news of the gospel was spoken to us by Jesus. This good news of the gospel can change your life forever. Amen? Has it changed your life? Oh, it's changed my life. It's a great salvation. But the writer says it's not just spoken through the Lord. It was confirmed to us by those who heard. The writer is now saying that I'm not one of those first generation Christians. And many believe this is a reason that we can believe maybe Paul wasn't the writer of Hebrews. He was not claiming to be an apostle. The writer was claiming to be, I'm one of those who has the blessing of hearing God's word because somebody told us. And there were those who heard God's word, the apostles, who had their lives absolutely changed when they repented of their sins and placed their faith in what Jesus had done for them on the cross and through his resurrection power defeating sin and death once and for all. And he says, we saw that. We were around those people. We heard from them what Jesus had done in their lives. And the best evidence for the gospel is changed lives. Who shared the gospel with you? Was it somebody whose life had been changed? That was true with me. My dad shared the gospel with me. I had lived around him and I had seen the difference Jesus had made in his life. And I wanted that living billboard for Jesus in front of me. And he says, this great salvation was confirmed to us by those who heard. Wow, what a great salvation. And it was proved, confirmed to us. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Here we have God saying, not only was it spoken to us by Jesus, not only was it confirmed by those early apostles and people whose lives were changed, but God proved it through signs. The Greek word has to do with things that are not able to be explained, things that have a meaning behind them, wonders. Signs and wonders, the idea of that which is beyond natural explanation. And miracles, the Greek word has in it the word from which we get the word dynamite. God's mighty power to do great works. And he talks about how God confirmed it through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God did all these wonderful things to confirm the word that he had spoken in the New Testament. And it changed people's lives. And whenever he did all these things, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they never replaced the importance of the message. They just underscored how the message can change your life. It's always that word of the gospel. Word of the gospel that changes lives eternally. And so we gotta pay closer attention to that which we've heard. We have such a great salvation. So we want to persevere in it. We want to persevere in this salvation, the writer would say, so that we can receive strength from our salvation. The Jewish Christians that our writer was writing to, oh, they were fearful. They were living in a day that they were beginning to experience persecution. And some of them were saying, hey, it's not worth it anymore. If we just blend in with the rest of the Jews that don't know Jesus as their Savior, hey, it's just going to be a lot easier, a lot more comfortable in life. Let's just run from our problems. Let's don't face our problems. Thinking that everything would go away if they just went down that road. But the writer says to them, Salvation wasn't given to you to run away from your problems. Salvation was given to you to face your problems head on. Because you have a God that's promised you salvation. He spoke it. You have a God who's confirmed it. He's backed it up with changing lives. And He's backed it up with doing miracles through the ages. He's backed it up with giving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can count on God's promises. Amen? He always comes through, no matter what the situation. And, hey, that's good news for believers. It's not so good news for you if you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's a wonderful verse in Hebrews. I'm jumping ahead, but Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 19 says this: so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he's talking about God makes promises, God makes an oath, and God never lies, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. He's saying to us that we, because of what we have heard, because of what Jesus has done for us, we have a steadfast hope, not a wish, but a certainty, a promise that we can count on in life. And this Jesus is an anchor of the soul. Again, that nautical sailing imagery, that Jesus is the anchor. And our hope goes beyond the veil. It enters within the veil. That is, talk about that tabernacle imagery. He goes where we can't go to secure our salvation once and for all. It's eternal. Come what may, problems in life, Jesus, you can count on. And this anchor became an early symbol for the Christians. I'm told in history you can go to the catacombs where the Christians used to be persecuted and incarcerated, and you will see carved out in the rock an anchor. An anchor knowing that their hope was in Jesus. Jesus, no matter what. Brother Ron was talking to the kids this morning about how Jesus can help you with the burdens that you have in life. And that is the message of Hebrews. This great salvation comes through that we can anchor our souls in it, no matter what your family's going through, no matter what you're going through in your health, no matter what you're going through in your career. Jesus is the anchor that gives you stability amidst all of life. If you're going through temptations, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 18, He's the one that can help. He's the one that can help no matter what you're facing in life. Jesus came to give you strength. That's why we don't want to neglect this great salvation that we have. And the last thing he says, for a reason, when we persevere in faith, we see growth through our salvation. New Testament has three meanings of the word salvation, of being saved. We have been saved from the penalty of sin when we repent and place our faith in Christ. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we will one day be saved from the very presence of sin as we are conformed to the image of who Christ is. It's in this place here in present and future tense of salvation that the writer of Hebrews focuses so much on. That salvation is not so much just a past thing. That, oh man, that's boring. Why do we need to talk about salvation anymore? It's done. And again, the writer would say there's that Greek word, baloney. It's still happening. God's still doing something in your life. When you persevere in your faith, He is continuing to make you more and more like Jesus. That is our goal, to be conformed to Him. Romans 8:29 says that He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That the goal of the Christian life is not fire insurance from hell. The goal of the Christian life is not for me to be comfortable today. The goal of the Christian life is for me to become more and more like Jesus. And so why would I want to stop for anything less? Why would I want to stop listening to what I've heard and obeying? Because I know the effect of that is that it gets me to the goal. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press on, brother, towards the goal, towards the high calling of what there is in Christ Jesus. I press on. Or like that sportscaster that I like so much, Chris Berman on ESPN. You know, when he's talking about the football analogies, he'll be talking about the guy, he's over here, you know, he's at the 5-yard line. He gets to the 10-yard line. He gets the 15-yard line. What does Chris Berman say? He could go all the way! And Paul's imagery, the writer of Hebrews' imagery is, hey, brother, sister, if you're at the 5-yard line, if you're at the 10-yard line, why would you want to stop growing there? No! The goal line's down there to become more like Jesus. Let's go all the way to victory in Jesus. That's why we want to be careful that we listen closely to all that we've heard and we obey it. Dear brother or sister, if you're here today and you are an unbeliever, you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ and Savior and Lord, I got good news for you. This salvation that we're talking about that can change your life, it's available to you today, right now. That if you've never prayed a prayer like, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that You died on that cross in my place for my sins. I ask for Your forgiveness. I trust in You alone to be the payment for my sins. If you pray a prayer like that, Jesus will come in. Jesus will forgive. Jesus will change your life forever. That great salvation can be yours. If you are a believer and you've been adrifting, you haven't been hanging on to that anchor, you got yourself lately in some places that you never dreamed that you should be, you've been neglecting the importance of God's Word in your life and fellowshipping with others that get you in God's Word, the good news of our message today is that you can repent. You can decide, I need to turn my ship back into port where it's safe. I need to, by faith, grab a hold of that anchor again that can keep me from being swept out by the currents, that can keep me from going under in the difficult times of life, that anchor that can help me face the temptations of life and help me begin to enjoy the great benefits of my salvation. You can come home again. As we come to this time of invitation, you may want to just have a time of repentance. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. The last application of this sermon for you as a believer is if you have been a listening and you have been obeying and persisting in your faith, enjoying these benefits of this great salvation, then during this invitation time, then maybe just you and God need to have a good old praise time. Get your praise on, huh? And just thank Him for what He's done for you. But don't stop there. Determine in your mind that you're going to leave this place today and go share this great salvation with somebody that needs to hear it, so their life can be changed like yours. Let's stand. We're going to sing. Brother Ted, what's our song? Softly and Tenderly. We're going to sing. If you want to turn to that in your hymnal. And if you need to do business with Jesus, I'll be here at the front to talk to you. I encourage you, don't miss out on listening right now to what God's Word wants you to do.